Hey, I'm Mary.
And I'm Jake.
And you're listening to The Fly Angle, the official RDU Airport podcast. Welcome back to The Fly Angle, your favorite airport podcast. One of the top airport podcasts.
It's definitely my favorite airport podcast. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. Spring is in the air and flights are happening.
And the pollen as well, right?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Every time we joke about clearing pollen off the runway with jet engines, somebody asks us if we're deploying some new technology. So,
it's comedy.
Long story.
Jake, I think I'm still flying high about that interview with Scott McCartney. It's a top of the list for me.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading his column for a long time. I think a lot of people who are listening to this podcast probably could say the same. And it was just so insightful to hear it straight from him in that local RDU context. He's just such a wealth of knowledge.
I agree. And just looking into the future on what could be, it was exciting to hear his take on it. So if you have not yet listened to it, it's a must. Make sure you check out our previous episode.
You got any fun trips coming up?
Actually, Jake, I'm headed to Arizona next month. Big shout out to Sky Harbor. I'm headed there and I love their public affairs and comms team. So I think I'm going to have to connect with them when I land briefly and then just go enjoy some dry air and no pollen.
Yeah. Shout out Phoenix team.
Yeah.
I'm going to Denver in May.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Red Rocks Amphitheater. I've never been. Always wanted to go. The music junkie in me is very excited. But also while I'm at Denver, I might look at all the weird stuff at Denver International, you know, the giant creepy sculptures and strange art through the terminals. And
they've got some of that too.
Oh yeah. How much time do you have? It's
let me digress. I don't know if you've sat in T1 at any length of time, but I just had some friends fly in and they were like, Mary, I heard your voice in the terminal, but I also looked up and saw this little girl looking back at me in the rafters. And I joked and I was like, see how many of them you can find.
So if you have not been in the terminals at RDU lately, I would strongly encourage you to go to the art page on RDU.com. Mm-hmm. And it tells you about all the different sculptures, paintings, exhibits throughout both terminals. I know which one you're talking about. We have a lot of art in places you would not expect it.
Exactly.
And in that particular example, I think it's by bag claim, right?
It is.
I didn't know about it until I saw it last minute, and it absolutely caught me by surprise.
You saw them watching you.
Yeah, it was great. But the art here is really fascinating. We've had the same kind of portfolio of sculptures and exhibits for a while, and they're really impressive. Yeah, absolutely. But that's funny. That's funny to hear that.
Definitely something to check out while you're at RDU. Let's jump into headlines, Jake. RDU is restoring important nonstop service to more destinations this spring. This month, Frontier will add several new routes, bringing the airport's total destinations served from 37 to 45. We are climbing our way back slowly but surely.
Yeah, it's not easy being green unless you're Frontier. Yeah, these guys are really, really investing in the Raleigh and Durham market in a big way. The numbers kind of speak for themselves. So this is a big step forward for them. They are bringing online Albany, Hartford, Buffalo, New York, Cleveland, Syracuse. So the upstate New York crowd.
My friends are very happy about this.
Very pleased with this development. Providence, Rhode Island, Portland, Maine. So a lot of up the seaboard and into even New England. That's really important connectivity. You know, Frontier's strategy is really not to go and compete in the big hub airports. They're serving secondary airports and underserved airports that have some connectivity to these major metros. So, you know, you can get to Boston from some of these other airports I just listed.
Exactly.
And those are huge markets for RDU at a time like spring 2022, where some of our business travel has still yet to return. And markets like New York, Boston, that are historically really powerhouses in terms of nonstop connectivity between RDU and those markets, these are huge. So I'm so pleased to get them back. I know that Frontier is really excited about them.
Yes, and I think that a lot of our folks on social media, I can attest to this when I'm backing you up, they're going to be happy too because I hear about these routes. And then whenever you put that post out, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Give me an emoji. These are some of the places that folks around here really want to get back to. So I'm glad to see that come back.
I mentioned it in the list earlier. We have a surprising number of Clevelanders in this part of North Carolina. So I think that Cleveland route is just going to be gangbusters.
Yes. So along with those routes, RDU will celebrate two new airlines this month and also welcome back another Avelo and Iceland Air both launched nonstop service in May.
Ooh.
And then Sun Country is restoring its direct flight to Minneapolis as well, just in time for warmer weather.
Busy spring.
There it is.
So we've talked about Iceland Air to Reykjavik on this podcast before. That is a momentous occasion to finally restore transatlantic service to RDU. We've been waiting for this for a long time. So I'll tell you, you know, as an aside, I was talking to somebody this past weekend on the ramp, and they hadn't been to RDU ever before. This is a pilot. And the first thing he asked me about was Iceland Air service. I was like, yeah, we're prompt. Apparently, the word's getting out. So tickets are selling through the roof. They are extremely excited. We're excited for them. And I can't wait to see the photos from the first plane.
Like, I know. You and I both. It's going to be exciting.
This is seat on the ramp here. Avelo to New Haven is obviously, you know, new destination, new airline. We love the diversity that they're bringing to the mix, not only in terms of like destination serve, but like price points, type of service. That's really exciting. Kind of a great story there. And then Sun Country to Minneapolis, you know, they kind of were a trailblazer in a lot of ways. They were one of the first airlines to take advantage of that incentive program. Them bringing Minneapolis back, obviously Minneapolis is an important connectivity point for us. So it's exciting to see these new entrants, exciting to see a former new entrant come back. It promotes a strong mix of carriers and ultimately it benefits the travelers. It means lower price points. It means easier to get to the places you want to go. It means more choices. I love it. It's just a great, exciting time.
That's right. And a lot just speaks to RDU in this market, in this region, and our recovery and our restoration of service. It's exciting to be on this side of it, right?
It is. Yeah. First and foremost, a win for our market, but just working here at the airport.
And a couple more on deck, right?
We do have some more on deck. So Frontier is planning to bring additional routes. So Cincinnati, Indianapolis, New Orleans are coming back from Frontier. And then, of course, last but not least, the big internationals. London's on deck. One of my personal favorites we've talked about on here as well, Montreal is coming. So Air Canada currently is flying nonstop to Toronto. They're adding that second one to Montreal back. So those both are coming, I think, in the first week of June. So this is, I mean, it's so exciting.
Yes. Yeah. You can feel it. You can probably hear it in our voices.
Particularly, I mean, and particularly the internationals, where that is like the last little bit of our business that has yet to really kind of come back full speed ahead. And to see it all happening one time is just, it has me pumped.
Yes. Yeah. We're connecting people and going places. And on the general aviation front, RDU welcomed two exciting visitors in early April. Two Swiss pilots who are circumnavigating the globe made a stop right here in Raleigh to promote sustainable practices in aviation.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've had the question before of can we talk about general aviation more on this pod? And I'm so glad that you brought this up. I got to meet these guys not that long ago when they came by. Their names were Matthias and Robin from Daimondo Earth Rounding. I'm going to probably butcher that name. But they're from Switzerland. One of them, I think it's Robin, is in the Swiss Air Force. The other one is a commercial pilot. So their nonprofit has this really neat mission of promoting sustainable practices in aviation. And what they're doing is they're flying a Diamond DA-50 aircraft, just a five-seater, but new, beautiful, beautiful aircraft, from Zurich all the way around the world.
Wow.
Going east. They're going easterly. I think their first stop in the United States was actually Hawaii. That gives you an idea of the route.
Okay.
They went down through Central and South America. We're coming back up, and that's how they ended up at RDU before they were going on to D.C. and then to Teterboro.
We're the hot spot.
So they caught us on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. I got to talk to them about college basketball because they were here right around the Final Four, which if you have a television set, you probably gathered that this market's extremely excited about that. So, yeah, it was a great day and beautiful day to be on the GA ramp.
And little guy got exposed. Lando got exposed to GA community, his first experience.
My five-year-old son, Landon, who had stayed up all night thinking about this, getting to see a plane up close, was very excited to meet those guys as well. So they showed him the aircraft, and I think he wants to be a pilot now.
I love it.
Hey, or a dinosaur, it's hard to say.
Hey, you can evolve, right? Well, a lot of questions, a lot of interest here at the airport. Let's jump into airmail.
We have a good airmail question today, Mary. Today's question comes from Adam P. on Facebook. Adam asks, does RDU have a lost and found? And the answer is yes. If you lose something at the airport, there are several places you can check. depending on where you might have lost it. Mary, mm-hmm. do you want to start us off with the first one?
Sure. So for lost items in the terminal or airport property, our very own guest experience and law enforcement does manage a lost and found. And all you have to do is contact lostitems@rdu.com. That's lostitems@rdu.com. Or you can also call 919-840-7553.
Okay, so that's the first bit. The second bit is if you lose something in security screening, in which, you know, if you've ever been through a TSA checkpoint, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon to think of. I've had it happen to me personally, so no shame in it. For lost items in security screening, TSA manages its own lost and found operations. So to contact them, you just reach the local office of the TSA at 919-468-4053. That's 919-468-4053.
And also, just in case you're like me and have happened to hear it, you know, if you stay alert as you're navigating through the airport, they may just say your name or explain the item that they've just found over our speaker announcement. So listen out for that when you start to panic as well.
There's one more place, right?
That's right. For lost luggage or lost items on the plane. So if you lose your item on the airplane, you'll need to contact that specific airline. And we have a list of airline lost and found web pages right on our website. Just go to rdu.com and search for lost and found. On this episode of the podcast, we welcome someone with a very interesting role here at RDU. She's also a super cool colleague to work with and serves as GIS administrator for the authority. Kristen Johnston, welcome to the Fly Angle.
Thank you.
Can you tell us how long you have worked for the authority, how your career has evolved to this current position as GIS administrator? And then while you're doing that, to help our listeners better understand your role, can you explain what GIS stands for as well?
Yeah, of course. So I have been here with the authority for over 10 and a half years. I actually started my career here with RDU in the middle of obtaining my grad degree. So came on board. I'm a huge av geek. I'm the person in the car that like points to the plane flying overhead and saying, you know, that's a Boeing 737-900, like because of the winglets. I'm that annoying person.
And everybody, and everybody else in the car is like, not again.
Yeah, not again. What is that? So, you know, being able to come on board with RDU is literally a dream come true because I could be surrounded by airplanes, but also do what I love to do. And that is GIS. So GIS quite literally stands for Geographic Information Systems. And it's probably one of the coolest things in the world. There's some formal definitions to it. You know, it's a system that allows you to create and manage data, visualize that data. But the way that I like to explain it is really computer science technology meets geography or location. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that GIS represents our real world. To break it down into some basic building blocks, you know, you've got these points, lines, and polygons that represent features in the real world. So a point might be a fire hydrant, a line might be a fence, and a polygon might be a parcel of land. All of those features have exact locations that then you can create this digital twin of our real world.
That's very cool. Can you kind of share what type of tasks you would do at an airport? How does GIS translate into the aviation industry and your work here at RDU?
As a GIS administrator, I am ultimately responsible for keeping an accurate and up-to-date system of record for all of our locational information. Where does our infrastructure, where do our assets actually live on campus, and what information are we maintaining about those assets?
Having seen it a little bit, you're reminded very quickly of how big the airport is. That is no small feat. That is a lot of information all in one, really multiple maps, right? Like there's layers and layers and layers.
Oftentimes, kind of our final deliverable from GIS is a map. And sometimes that's, you know, in paper form. Oftentimes it's digital. And what we've been working on recently is interactive maps. But you're right, Jake, it's hundreds of layers of information, you know, whether it's base map layers like our roadways or our building footprints, or asset layers like our airfield lighting systems or our utility systems. There's a lot of data for our entire campus.
Your work intersected in our communications world several times. I can think of a couple examples. One, when we were kicking off a campaign with Triangle Takeoff Coalition, and Jake and I were having to put together the plan for the event. And I was like, Kristen, I need a map or I need something. And so she printed me out this map and blew it up and made it so that we could arrange the setup for the speakers we're going to go and where people could sit. And then again, when the pandemic happened, we quickly had to look through our entire campus and specifically the terminals. And I remember you printed me out so many pages of all of our gates and all the seating arrangements. And I was fascinated that you were able to translate it into something that I could use to literally walk through the terminals to identify seats so that we could put seat coverings on them. And it was just like really quick. I'm sure you never thought that you would be doing something like that for in response to a pandemic, but our worlds collided at that point.
I did not think I would be making gate hold room seat maps for social distancing, but it became something we did quite a bit of. And ultimately, you know, that translated to the safety of our traveling passengers, right, what we could accommodate in the terminal.
Yeah.
So you've told me about this before, but I think it's really awesome information that I think a lot of our listeners aren't aware of. RDU uses something called a GeoPortal. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and how our staff uses that program?
Our GeoPortal, which is one of the things I am most proud of, is our web-based mapping platform. Ultimately, it's a platform where our staff can go in and interact with maps, apps, and dashboards. And these maps and apps and dashboards have been created using our GIS data, but it's there for them to visualize everything on campus. Again, whether that's a utility system or whether it's the space inside the terminal with our seating arrangements or even the leased space to our business and business partners and tenants. They can go in and see all of the information that might be in our system, and that helps them visualize what is where, what's going on, and help them answer the questions they need to answer on a daily basis.
So the first time that Kristen showed me this, Mary, mm-hmm. I played a lot of like SimCity as a kid.
Remember
that
game? Did.
And I was eyes were just like, it was like playing SimCity all over again.
Wow.
And she's like, Kristen is rolling. You can't see it. She's rolling her eyes at me right now because she knew I was going to say something like that.
Yeah, I believe it.
So yeah, our GeoPortal actually has over 50 mapping applications. And our users can go in, whether they're at their desktop and look at information or enter information, they can also access our maps on their mobile devices. So our maintenance crews can be out there in the field looking at the airfield lighting and doing inspections, you know, entering the answers to their inspection questions and saving it directly into our system.
That's really helpful to have in the field.
Yeah, but how does that work? So like for the layman or person like me that doesn't quite get how somebody's sitting at their desk, are there cameras or is it just that you've built layers and layers through this technology or your lines?
Points, lines, and polygons.
Points, lines, and polygons. How does that work?
So that's exactly right. We've built all of the features from the real world into the GIS. And so when we publish that out into this platform, you know, users like yourselves, simply by working at the authority, can go in and access maps for different information. So if you wanted to go and inspect a fire extinguisher, for example, you know, you would be looking at the map that shows the locations of all the fire extinguishers across campus. You know, is it in the terminal building, or maybe it's in one of our administrative buildings? And then you can click on it. The GPS knows exactly where you are. You know, whether you're outside or whether you're inside on the Wi-Fi, you know what you're standing in front of, and you can answer the questions. You can click save and you've done your inspection. The map updates that's been inspected and makes the workflow a whole lot easier.
That's really impressive.
I'm sure. And a great segue to my next question as well. What role does GIS play in planning? So, for example, for Vision 2040 projects or other campus-wide projects, I imagine that would be a very helpful platform.
Yeah, GIS actually plays probably one of its most important roles in the planning stages of our projects. For example, like our new runway, as part of Vision 2040, we play kind of a big role on the front end with planning and then another large role on the back end when the project's completed. But in the planning stage, you know, GIS is kind of a central hub for information. So when you start thinking about a project you're going to be doing, you want to know all the aspects about that project. For our runway, you know, location, mm-hmm. you know, where is it going to be or where would we want it to be? Environmental factors, topography factors, you know, what does the land look out there? Obviously, the plane has to land or take off on a flat surface. So is there a lot of earthwork to be done? What type of utility systems are you going to need? There's going to need to be drainage. There's going to need to be electrical to house our lighting and our airfield signage and stuff. So GIS plays that role, that information gathering and compiling on the front end, and then really focuses on visualization. Want to be able to paint that picture for the decision maker. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, a map's worth even more.
Wow.
That's great. So speaking of interesting projects, I want to drill down into one that's kind of coming around the corner here pretty soon. The International Drive Rehabilitation Project that we're getting ready to undertake. For people who are not as familiar with RDU's campus, International Drive is, I guess you'd call it the northwest side of campus as you're going, exiting out that direction away from the terminals. What role does it play going into a project like lengthening and moving a roadway?
Given the roadway's already there, we have information about that existing infrastructure. How many lanes is the roadway? Is it bidirectional, one way? What utility systems run underneath it or run along it? Kind of first thing from a GIS perspective, we would want to know everything there is to know about the existing roadway. And then we actually have a team that comes in on a regular basis and does pavement inspections. So they have a fancy laser sensor and they can evaluate the actual pavement condition. You know, are there cracks, are there spaldings? And then they're able to tell us, you know, what type of reconstruction it would need. Does it need just a mill and overlay, or do you have to completely rip everything out and rebuild the roadway? So GIS houses all that information. And then from a planning standpoint, we compile information and provide to the team to help make decisions on, you know, what they're actually going to do to reconstruct the roadway.
I imagine that's in a lot of ways even more valuable here than it is if you were working on a roadway through like a neighborhood. Here, you've got all sorts of different perspectives. I mean, you know, it's an airport. Every little square inch of the campus has some utilization or purpose, right? So I imagine there's a lot of layers that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, there's a lot of impacts doing a project such as this because, you know, you've got the cargo area there. We've got business partners that need to be able to access,
General aviation is over
You've got Observation Park over there. Yeah. So listeners.
Yeah. Observation Park. Yeah. You want to know kind of phasing, you know, how can you phase a project so that there's minimal impact to whoever your stakeholders are.
And I understand there. It sounds like that's probably going to be the case with that project in particular, that they're going to have to do it in multiple steps. I think the last time they did something like that I recall was maybe when they were working on John Brantley Boulevard, which, again, listener at home, this John Brantley Boulevard is the loop road that connects the terminals with parking deck and circulates traffic around.
Yeah, it'll be very similar to that because you obviously can't shut down an entire roadway. As much as we might want to do that to get it all knocked out, we have to have it open for the traveling public. So phasing it will be important. Knowing the impacts of closing different sections will also be important.
Is there a back end? I know you talked about the front end planning. Is there a back end part of this process where you go in and update the changes? So will you go back as part of the system, add another layer to say, here's the changes, and then make those modifications?
Yeah. So at the end of any type of construction project, plan drawings come in, call them as-built. They come in and we take all of that information and we actually update the system. So it's a constant changing record of, you know, what's been removed and what's been added and what has changed and what needs to be modified. So a lot of work on the back end to keep the data up to date so that, you know, we can turn right around and compile it again for another project in the future.
That's very cool. Along the lines of cool, what might people find interesting about GIS work at an airport? For example, is there an assignment or a task that you're most proud of, or have you uncovered anything surprising? You know, I'm always trying to find out this inside information as you've navigated through the technology of geographic information systems.
Yeah, so kind of like you touched on, RDU is essentially a little city. You know, we have everything that a city would have. We have our infrastructure in our buildings. We have our police department, our maintenance, our fire department. So I think one of the most interesting things that I learned when I came to the authority is that GIS really does touch just about everyone on campus in some form or fashion. So, you know, a cool thing that I've worked on, our fire trucks, for example, have a navigation system on them that allows them to actually drive when there's little or no visibility. So think smoke or fog, and all of that runs solely on our GIS.
Wow. That's cool. Now yeah. I want to drive the fire truck.
See, I told you I asked these questions for a reason. Anything else?
People cannot get enough of maps. You know, you provide them one map and it just opens a slew of new additional questions they have. And, you know, okay, well, can you show me this now? And you might give them that. Okay, well, what about this? And it's just, it's really exciting to see kind of that childlike wonder that people are able to visualize their information on a map.
Mm-hmm. So is there any advice that you would give someone who is interested in GIS as a field of work, particularly if they have a passion for technology or even the aviation industry? How would they begin to get into that field?
Yeah, that's a great question. So GIS has really permeated so many different industries. Obviously, aviation, larger transportation industry, of course, but even things like public safety sector, anything related to the environment, whether it's sustainability or resource management, and even healthcare. So if you're already interested in something, you can also be interested in GIS, because the location-based analytics and the data visualization that GIS brings to the table will only enhance what you're already interested in. There are a slew of resources, and most of them are free or low cost. The Mass open online courses, and then there's software platforms. I would say just jump in, start, you know, pick something and jump into it, learn about it, and go from there.
Cool.
Yes, Kristen, I've so enjoyed listening to you today and on behalf of all of us here at the airport.
Thanks for joining the pod.
Thank you for having me.
What a great interview with Kristen Johnston, our very own. I'm so glad to have her here. I learned so much. I always learn on this podcast. I feel like I get schooled every single time, and just, she's pretty dynamic.
Yeah, even if you haven't taken a single geography class, I think GIS is just one of those topics that sounds one way until you hear about it from the expert, and then it's just endlessly fascinating.
It is.
There's so much here at the airport, but really just anywhere where those geographic systems really tell a deep, deep story about like what's really happening here.
Right.
And we use it, you know, so much and in so many different facets of the business. But yeah, couldn't
and
do it without
it. And then the intersection like with technology, you know, like you just don't always think about that in terms of a career and what that could look like. But, you know, her background's information systems. She's part of that team and just pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, we love hearing from you, and we just want to get better and bigger. We want to make sure we're providing you with some engaging content. So please submit more airmail questions or feedback to us at communications@rdu.com.
Yeah, and don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We want to know how we're doing. While you're at it, look for us on Twitter and Facebook at RDU Airport and Instagram at FlyRDU. Want to hear from you and talk with all of our fans and friends.
Yes, tell a friend. Keep tuning in. We can't wait to hear from you again. We wish you well. Stay safe.
All right, see you at the airport.